I'm bored. There's nothing to do. If you're a parent, you've heard those words. If you're a person, you've probably said them. But the age-old complaint about lack of activities for youth has taken on particular resonance in Kansas City, where youth on the plaza last month tangled again with police, disrupted traffic and business, and raised new questions about security, parenting, and solutions. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we check in on how government agencies, not-for-profit groups, and parents might work together to keep kids out of trouble. And later, we cross the state line, where Kansas legislators are considering changes to tax laws that could affect the YMCA. For-profit health club owners say the Y has an unfair advantage, but could bills to level the playing field cut into community services? We'll sort it out ahead on Central Standard, after the news. It was just 3 weeks ago on an early Sunday evening, but the headline sounded like several late summer Friday and Saturday nights over the last few years. Crowds of young people on the plaza creating a disturbance, police making arrests, and a chorus of calls for tighter security, for stricter laws, for better parents, and as in every generation, for more for kids to do. Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Good to be back with you. Today we are talking about what to do with young people, or perhaps better, what there is for young people to do, especially when school's out. Activities they can undertake with their friends, keeping them out of trouble, maybe even building up the community and their character. Joining us to assess the city's progress with all this are a couple of city officials. Joni Wickham, she's Director of Public Affairs for the Kansas City Mayor's Office. Joni, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Terry Reiner, Deputy Director of the Department of Parks and Recreation for Kansas City, Missouri. Terry, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
We're also joined by phone from the not-for-profit world, Dave Smith. He's President of the Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're glad you're here. Joni, I want to start with you. Mayor Sly James has always said young people have every right to be on the plaza as long as they aren't doing anything illegal. Yet he's also devoted a lot of time and energy to finding some alternatives. What do you think the problem is here that's in need of solving?
Well, I think the problem that's in need of solving is the fact that not all of our youth in our city have the same opportunities when it comes to extracurricular and entertainment opportunities. And so that's what the mayor's done with his Club KC and Mayor's Nights programs in the summer. That helps the situation in the summer, but unfortunately the city has a finite amount of resources, so it's not something that we can translate year-round. So that's where people like Terry and her staff over at Parks and Rec come in with helping students find something to do when they're not in the classroom.
Let's briefly sort of recap what those programs are that you mentioned that the mayor has already invested some time and energy in. What is Club KC?
So Club KC is a adult chaperoned party atmosphere. Last year we had it at six different sites across the city, north, south, east, and west locations. And there's a variety of events going on at each location. It just kind of depends on what the crowd's like at each location at the community centers. Everything from video games and DJs to basketball games.
And you mentioned also Mayor's Night, or the Mayor's Night. What is that?
Mayor's Nights are night hoops, night nets, and night kicks. It's for the young people who are a little more athletic.
Okay. So let me ask you, Terry. You work in the Parks and Rec Department. Those were sort of special programs that are focused on summer. What is there going on at the Parks and Rec Department for young people to do?
This time of year, most of our programming has traditionally been focused after school, and we have a program called Youth Zone that encourages kids of all ages from 6 to 18 to come in after school and participate in a variety of activities, some sports, some arts, some study and tutoring, mentoring, those sorts of things. We traditionally have not programmed on Friday and Saturday nights, thinking that most of the kids had activities at school or basketball games they could attend. Knowing that we do run into a gap after football and basketball season. And this year, you know, with the Kansas City Police Department, they asked us, can we start some programming? They're going to be asking everybody to do some programming. So we were happy to do that and step up and open one of our community centers a little earlier than we normally would on Friday and Saturday nights.
And is that that'll be all throughout the whole school year?
It appears that it's going to be throughout the year until we run into our Mayor's Club KC program.
Okay. I want to turn to Dave Smith, who's with the Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City. Just remind us what the Boys and Girls Club is, Dave.
Boys and Girls Clubs is a facility-based program. We have five sites around the metro area and two in Kansas City. We serve kids grades K to 12, and our facilities are designed to work with separate the grades so we can have appropriate activities and staffing, et cetera. We have core programs that include education, character development, career development, healthy lifestyles, which all of our sports programming and nutrition programming and our health, like dental screening or even conflict resolution, peer pressure, decision-making, all of those health-related programs are under that banner. We have an arts program, technology, public speaking, communication. Those are our core areas, and we program year-round in 10-week periods. In the summer, it's a heavy focus on education, STEM programming during our 9-week, it's called Atomic Blast, summer program. We use certified teachers to sustain the kids' academic work from the school year, and that's generally up to grade 8. You know, summer is a harder time in the program for the older kids because, you know, they want jobs and they don't want to be in a program all day. They tend to come later. And so we have evening hours in the summer, Monday through Friday, and mostly till about 8 o'clock in our facilities. We're not open on weekends except for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
We have our facilities include swimming pools and gymnasiums and technology centers and stages for performance. We have art rooms and game rooms, lounges, and those kinds of things for our age groups.
Sure.
I think Terry knows, we are working with the city, Parks and Recreation, I believe, Terry, to maybe host a middle school site over the summer.
Yeah.
So we're in discussion about doing that. But so that's kind of the extent. We have a big sports program in the summer, primarily our baseball program, and we get a lot of teams in that program.
Okay. I guess I'm curious about something. You said that the programs end at 8 p.m. I guess I wonder a lot of the problems that that get a lot of press, the young people at the plaza or so on, take place much later than 8 p.m. Is there anything that not-for-profit groups working in Kansas City, whether it be the Boys and Girls Club or someone else, are doing to help address that?
You know, this isn't a new topic, of course. For years, we've had the issue. If it's not Westport, it's the plaza. And I think every time I've weighed in, it's a similar thing. I think Terry mentioned, or the young lady from the mayor's office, it's a resource issue. We don't have the resources to stay open beyond our normal hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would require support and help. And again, the middle school program we're talking about is going to be funded. If we are chosen to provide it, it comes with funding, some funding. And that's kind of the issue we face every year is, how do we fund, particularly when we know we're going to have these issues every year.
Needs
to be some sustained kind of support for this.
Terry, you were mentioning that there is some coordination with your department.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that we have done in the past and certainly are looking to do more of in the future is really leveraging partnerships and to make sure that we're not duplicating services. If Dave and his organization are going to be able to offer something on Friday night, then we would be reaching to some of our other partners to cover Saturday night? And then if you have one part of the city that has a program, then where's the gap? Fill the gap. That's kind of our mantra. So with our programs this summer, we have several vendors that will be assisting us. The Boys and Girls Club is one, Kansas City Keys, Mayor's Nights programs, Casey Hoops, Maddie Rhodes, Guadalupe, Arts Tech, just a variety of not-for-profits that we've reached out to just to try and expand our base and to reach as many kids as we can.
We're talking today here on Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM about young people in Kansas City, what there is for them to do, what responsibility and what opportunity the government or the or not-for-profit groups or parents have to provide activities for youth. We'd love to have you join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. What do you think should be done? Have you experienced young people at the Plaza or Westport or somewhere else to be a problem yourself? What's out there that you know about that you think would help the situation? 816-235-2888. We'd especially love to hear from you if you are a teenager or maybe recently have been a teenager. What do you think there is to do out there? Where do you hang out? 816-235-2888. We'll also check your email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Joni, remind me exactly what the curfew laws are. What is the time that has been sort of most discussed here as a problem?
Right. Well, during the summer, we have a more stringent curfew than during the fall and other seasons. During the summer, for minors under 16, it's going to be 10 o'clock. And then for minors 16 and 17, it's 11.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because all three of you have talked about pretty extensive lists of programs and activities. Parks and Rec is doing a lot of things. These mayor's office initiatives are significant, and yet we still have problems. What do you think is the – why is this intractable? What's making this – why are this range of activities not enough?
Well, to my original point, I think it is an issue of resources. To the extent that these kids that live in neighborhoods east of Truce that are close to the plaza, they simply don't have the entertainment options that maybe kids do that live near Zona Rosa, mm-hmm. that maybe kids do that live in Blue Springs or Independence. That's going to take time. Decades worth of disinvestment east of Truce, it just isn't going to be rectified overnight. So that's going to take some time. We're making progress, though. We opened a grocery store at 39th and Prospect, and the mayor has repeatedly said that sometimes all it takes is an anchor project to anchor further investment in neighborhoods. So I think that's coming along. I really think that these public-private partnerships that Terry was talking about and that the gentleman from the Boys and Girls Club is talking about, I think that's going to help us get there quicker as well.
Dave, you were trying to jump in there.
Yeah, I appreciate the mayor's interest in making sure these kids, if they want to come to the plaza, it can, but there's logistics and issues with that have to be worked out. And I think we have to. Our experience is that these kids want to be in the bright lights. They want to be with the beautiful people and the excitement. They want to see and be seen. And in their current environment, they're in that every day. And so they want this alternative. And the plaza, by the way, is safe too, I might add. And so I think those are the kinds of draws that young people look for. And I wish there were a way to infuse them into the plaza in activities with some structure that, makes it okay. Let them be ordinary constituents.
Yeah.
Patrons.
Well, I mean,
with some structure.
And to that point, Terry Reinard, community centers don't seem quite as appealing as hanging out at the plaza. Let's go over to the activity room and make a craft. How do you compete? What do you think can be done to make this a more appealing environment?
Well, one of the things that we've done is reached out to the teens themselves, as you said, inviting them to call, but to reach out to the teens at our centers and say, what do you want? And some of them want to play basketball. Some of them want to play in the game room. And the majority of them, and Dave is so right, they want to see and be seen. They want a club atmosphere. They want to be able to dance. They want to be able to dance to their music. They want to be able to dance like they want to dance. And you know, it's a delicate balance of using the space we have to try and meet all the needs. But I think we just continue to provide what it is they want and really pride ourselves in giving them that safe place they can kind of call their own.
816-235-2888, 235-2888 is the number to call. If you want to join the conversation, what questions do you have or ideas for giving young people things to do in Kansas City? Let's talk to Leslie in Kansas City, Missouri. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just participated in a 24-hour hackathon for middle, high school, and college students a couple weeks ago. We had about 50 kids come in, and most of them came from the suburbs. And so I'm wondering, with the interest in mobile apps and gaming and trying to get kids to be more less consumers and more creators, if any of the guests are looking at providing some training around coding or technology.
Yeah, who put the hackathon on, Leslie?
It was organized by Kansas City Women in Technology, and it was presented by a national nonprofit organization called Student R&D, and they're looking at doing another one in May. But, you know, again, we drew kids from the suburbs and really not the kids who probably lack access to those opportunities. So, you know, we're hoping to increase that access, and I'd love to hear the guests' input on that.
Thanks so much for that, Leslie. Really appreciate the call. Joni, are there efforts to provide access to maybe students who are enrolled in the Kansas City, Missouri School District in some of these sorts of programs?
Absolutely. It's my understanding that hackathon's a pretty a new event, so we're absolutely going to be more involved on the front end of that next year. One of the things that I think is going to be really helpful in that is the Youth Commission that the mayor is going to be opening up applications for tomorrow, actually, and it'll run through the end of the month on March 31st, close of business. So we would encourage you to have all the young people that you know and who might be interested in serving go to kcmayor.org starting tomorrow to apply for that. And we want those young people to tell us how we can better communicate with people their age, whether that be on social media, whether it be through our website or
sure.
through their school public information officers.
And let's come back to the Youth Commission. I think that's a really interesting initiative. But I don't want to lose this question that Leslie asked about technology.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent are the programs, Terry Reinerd, that the Parks and Recreation Department offers educational in this way? And to what extent are they just providing stuff for kids to do?
Yeah, we have a robotics partnership that we do with our summer camp programs. We have not extended that into the evening hours, but I think, Leslie, you make an excellent point. And, you know, just as we're trying to expand further into the arts this year, I think that technology and certainly the R&D portion of technology is an area that we need to hit. So along with trying to find all the other partners that can help us provide some more outlets, you know, I think that's an excellent point and probably an area we need to tap.
Let's talk to Natalie in Westwood, Kansas. Natalie, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I just had a recommendation that I just thought would be kind of interesting. I know, like, the Osco Drug on Main Street and maybe 40th mm-hmm. is empty and has artist studios in it right now. But I always thought it would be kind of interesting if it was a skating rink.
Hmm.
And the college students and the kids could hang out and skate.
It's a creative idea. The take an empty business like the Osco Drug on 40th and turn it into something like a roller skating rink. Thanks for the question, Natalie. Let me ask our guests. I mean, is there a place for for-profit entities like a roller skating rink? There's really no bowling alleys in the urban core. There's no miniature golf course. You know, Power and Light is a very adult entertainment area, not really a place full of high school age kids activities. Is there a place for the for-profit community, and what if anything is being done to draw that kind of entertainment to the urban core?
Actually, we have a partnership with the College Basketball Experience, which is downtown, and they've done three so far. I think they'll do one more before summer's out, and they actually charge a minimum fee for kids to come in and both utilize the facility as a basketball facility and all the opportunities there are, and they set up a club atmosphere. They had that week before last and had over 1,000 kids. And the partnership that we have is if they are part of Club KC, they get a discount into that venue. So that's an example of a public-private partnership where the private side is taking all the risk and doing all the program development, and our piece is just to encourage kids that are already in our program during the summer to know about and have a place to go.
I would agree that the opportunities to do that, it's going to take investment, and it's not going to return probably initially what private investors might think is worthwhile. But until we get a market that is willing to and feels like it's meeting their needs, I think the skating rink idea is great. The bowling alley idea is great. The investment required, there needs to be some, some projection of return or return. And that's the kind of market understanding we need to have to entice private investment, I think. So, we don't have those things.
I mean, maybe that's, the question has come back now several times to money, right, to resources. What are the costs involved here? Are the programs that Parks and Rec does, I assume these are primarily taxpayer dollars going to these programs. The mayor's office initiatives, again, publicly funded programs. How much money are we talking about? Where might there be other sources of funding for programs that could make a difference here? Joni?
Yeah. Our summer programming, we have $400,000 in the budget this year. That's what we had last year as well.
Which isn't very much, right?
Right. We'd love to have more, but we also love to have plowed roads when we have snow on the ground, and we love to be able to cover up our potholes and things like that. So there's definitely a balance to be struck in providing these opportunities for our kids, which they need, but also we have to balance other needs that our residents have.
And Terry, the Parks and Rec budget has to pay for a whole lot of other things besides community activities for young people.
The $400,000 that Joni mentioned is actually a combination of general fund and park fund money. And we have an opportunity to use some of our youth enrichment money to augment that. But that's the same youth enrichment money that we're using for summer camps and after-school programs. So, yeah, the funding gets tight, and that's where I think the creativity and the partnerships and really making sure that we're not duplicating, we're just filling the gaps, and you'll hear that a lot in the upcoming weeks. And we've had several conversations with several organizations over the last 2 months just around that same thing.
That's Terry Reinard. She's Deputy Director for the Department of Parks and Recreation in Kansas City, Missouri. Also talking here with Joni Wickham. She's Director of Public Affairs in Kansas City Mayor Sly James' office. And Dave Smith, President of the Boys and Girls Club, is joining us by phone. Dave, let me put a question to you that came in an email from Tor. Tor says, it's 100% the parents' responsibility. Apparently, the parents are simply not responsible. Thus, we have to spend our time, money, and resources to do their job. That's a sentiment that I imagine other people feel as well, Dave. How do you answer a comment like that from Tor?
Well, I don't disagree that the first job of making this situation work is in the family setting. But having said that, there are all kind of issues and struggles related, and that's where these community interventions and supports have to come into play. The population we serve, the median income across the metro is about $25,000 per household, and if you've got multiple kids and you've got a lot to do with that small amount of revenue, and that's the high end of our economic, information and background. So I think that I'm a career-long youth development professional. This is all I've done. And we've talked a lot over the years about this problem. Until we make it a real priority and bring the best thinking together in the community, politically, business-wise, civically, and say, let's commit to a strong experience of development and education and enrichment for our young people. It's just, it's not going to happen with Band-Aid or P piecemeal. I appreciate all that's being done, and I think it's great. I'm glad to see it, the mayor and the Parks and Recreation Department. I mean, all of our dollars are philanthropic. We raise 100% of the budget annually through charitable resources. And so it's just, I think, requires a sustained plan that is committed to. Combat's a great example. The community-backed anti-drug tax that this community has supported for years. And it renews annually, not annually, but every cycle it renews to the credit of the county leadership, currently Mike Sanders, and others who keep this project aware around the community and get advocates to support. But it supports a lot of intervention and treatment kinds of programming in the community that are making a difference. We need the same kind of effort for young people.
816-235-2888 is the number to call. Join the conversation about what can be done to address the need for activities and programs for youth in Kansas City. Gene in Shawnee is on the line. Gene, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
As I think about the issue, and I've worked in the Northeast side for many years at both East High School and Northeast High School, and young people, I think Dave Smith hit the nail on the head. They want to see and be seen. And so the plaza is a natural drawing place for young people. And even after they would finish a basketball game, say, in their community, they're going to head for the plaza. So I think that we need to maybe work with the Merchants Association of the plaza, if there is such a thing, work with youth from all parts of the city, and especially those that come from those areas attract youth that sometimes we feel might bring certain problems with them, and sit down and say, okay, if we had a huge tent in the little park area just north of the fountain there on the plaza, and there were activities of various kinds, including entertainment, including activities that kids would relate to, video games and those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
Their own DJs and all of that. There's a lot of talent among the kids that are coming, and sometimes they just want an opportunity to show their talent, and there could be showcases of talent. And young people coming and being drawn to something like that is positive in nature, and it's an opportunity to see and be seen.
Yeah.
In the Latino community, we have fiestas of all types in small parks around the city. And those fiestas draw a lot of young people that come in. And it is an opportunity to see and be seen. And but also they're contributing to showing off some of their talent and so forth.
Gene, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the creative thinking about what can be done. And Joni, I guess I wonder, has something like what Gene is describing been pursued? Is there partnership with the Plaza Merchants that would actually provide some of those activities right there on site where some of the problems have taken place?
Well, a lot of what Gene was describing is spot on and exactly what we're doing over at Brush Creek Community Center and some of the other community centers. So I think we are hitting that. Highwoods has come to the table. Highwoods is the
developer.
Is the developer of the plaza. They've come to the table and they've had discussions with the mayor and other officials. So we're getting there. I don't think we're exactly where we need to be yet, but we're getting there. Every summer we get closer to, I think, where we want to be as a community when it comes to making sure that our kids have something safe and fun to do.
Well, and with the time we have left, I guess I'd like to turn to broaden that question to two solutions. I mean, to what is perhaps on the horizon to cure what seems like it has been a semi-intractable problem. Joni, you mentioned already the Youth Commission, which is there has been a Kansas City Youth Commission before. So is it just sort of getting revitalized now?
Right. This is actually the first time it's been in ordinance. So it's going to be starting up in April. Like I said earlier, tomorrow is going to be the first day that we have the application period, and that'll last through the end of the month. And then the mayor will appoint the members. In April, we have slots up to 20 members can be students who are members of the community, and they have to be Kansas City, Missouri residents, and then five other members of the commission can be from youth-serving organizations.
And what sorts of power will this group have? Items of discussion will be on their agenda?
Right. They are going to serve in an advisory role to the mayor and to city officials, and we hope to just kind of glean some ideas from them, outreach, programming ideas, that sort of thing.
Terry Reinert, are there new initiatives on the horizon? You mentioned already trying to expand some of the hours in the non-summer months of the year. Are there other programs that you see coming up from the Parks and Rec Department?
Yeah, I think our biggest change, or the one thing that we're for sure focused on, including this year, is arts into our programs. We have a partnership currently with Young Audiences of America, and Arts Tech has given us a proposal that includes spoken word, performing arts, visual arts. And the idea is just to make sure that if you're not a dancer and you're not a basketball player, there's still going to be something else for you to do.
And Dave, the various aspects of this Kansas City situation that seem unique to us, are you aware of programs in other cities that might provide an inspiration for programs here?
You know, not specifically. I would imagine there's great creativity around the country through Boys and Girls Clubs and other entities. And that's part of the solution I would offer, is to build on what we have with a strategic plan and effort that says, all right, let's understand the cost involved with some of the kinds of experiences we know kids want and need. I think the commission and the information feedback is going to be great, but then I think we should take it and really look at how can we have a real quality experience for these kids. Again, I think the caller was on target. Gene, I think having something on the plaza that the kids can come to with structure and control, in addition to the neighborhood thing, these kids want to see something different, and then that's why they go out there.
Well, I'm sorry we're out of time. There's so much more we could talk about. We will provide a link on our website to the Kansas City, Missouri, the application form for those who are interested in serving on the Youth Commission. My thanks to our guests, Joni Wickham of the Kansas City Mayor's Office, Terry Reinert of the Parks and Recreation Department, and Dave Smith of the Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll turn to a different way people, young and old, are spending their time working out, and to a controversy starting to elevate heart rates in a less healthy way. Kansas legislators are considering changing the way some groups, like the YMCA, are exempt from taxes, while for-profit health and fitness clubs are not. There's a lot of conversation and a lot of dollars at stake, so stay tuned for that. I'm Brian Ellison. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.